The word today is harvest. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. Last week, we discussed a parable that Jesus taught. Today, we have another parable from the same chapter of the New Testament, Matthew 13. This parable reminds us that ultimately only God can judge. Only He can know and see what is in a person's heart. Here from our archives, to help apply this parable to our lives, is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Harvest.
Last week we talked about the sower, a parable that Jesus told. It's found in the 13th chapter of Matthew. Beautiful, beautiful study of our heart condition when we hear the Word of God and whether or not it's going to be smothered out or just lying there and devoured by the birds, or whether the seed is going to ferment and grow and make roots and become a marvelous, marvelous growing faith for our God. Now, in this same chapter, Matthew, the 13th chapter, there are, more thoughts, and I want to focus on one today. We'll call it the harvest, because it's again about the sowing of the seed. Last time, the first parable we talked about, the parable of the sower, was all about the heart condition into which the message of the gospel falls, so to speak, upon the heart, upon the listener. This time, it's about the harvest. Once again, it's similar to the parable of the sower, but there are different explanations, and it's fortunate that we have the explanation from Jesus himself right in the same chapter. A few verses down, he tells us the meaning of the parable. It's beautiful, so we don't have to guess at the meaning. The parable, first of all, talks about the field this time not being the heart, as it was in the parable of the sower. The field was the heart. This time, the field is the world. And God is doing the sowing of His Word across the world. And as we see Him sowing, there is a picture that the pure gospel is being sown, which is the story that God wants us to know and have about Him, so that we know about Him. And the seed begins to take root in the world, in the field of the world. And all of a sudden, his workers come back and say to him, "You know, something has happened. We were just out looking at the field, and not only is there wheat growing there, but we are shocked that it's full of weeds. How on earth did this happen?" And so Jesus, in explaining the parable, says that the owner tells them, the one that's been doing the sowing of the field, tells them, "Well, you know what happened during the night? The enemy," and the enemy is identified as the devil. "So the devil came and sowed his seeds," and these are called the weeds that are corrupting the field. This is the picture of the world right now. And of course, his disciples, his followers, immediately become concerned. And in the parable, they say to the owner, "Well, let's get out there and pull out those weeds." And Jesus cautions them. He says, wait a minute, don't be so quick to make a judgment now, because you could accidentally pull out some of the grains of wheat that are beginning to grow. You could pull them out accidentally while you're trying to pull weeds, because you notice they look very much alike. And in the early stages of their growth, you can't hardly tell them apart. They look so much alike. And I don't want you to make any mistakes. No one is going to accidentally be kept out of heaven. And neither is anyone accidentally going to be able to sneak into heaven that shouldn't be there. This is a very clear point. And notice here, some of those that try to teach the Bible say there is no hell. Well, that's ridiculous. The Bible talks about hell in many places. This is one of them. There is a hell. There is a judgment. Now, one of the things that Jesus is stating here is, be slow to make such a judgment because you cannot look into the heart. They look so identical, the unbeliever and the believer. They almost seem the same. Have you ever noticed that at church? You may notice somebody, or maybe it's right next door to you. You may notice a family that goes to church. They claim to have membership in a church somewhere, and yet maybe you see him coming home every Friday night drunk. Or maybe you hear language that is not at all Christian, and they act as though they're a weed. And they look as though they're a weed. But maybe, because God sees in the heart, maybe there is a little childlike faith there, a little weakness. It needs to grow, it needs to mature, but nevertheless, it is still there and believes in Jesus Christ. Now, you and I can't make that judgment because we can't look into the heart. Ultimately, what God is saying here is, don't worry, if the weeds and the crop grow side by side, that's the way it is here on earth. That's the way it is while we're living here on earth. We can't really tell who God's people are and who the unbelievers are. You can make judgments. Of course you can make judgment by their actions, what they do, what they say. Obviously, there is a point at which you can make a judgment, but the ultimate judgment is up to God. He alone knows what's in the heart, whether you're dealing with an unbeliever or a very, very weak Christian that needs to be encouraged and nourished and brought into a deeper commitment with the Lord. So this is quite a parable. It's a lot of teaching going on here, and we need to be very careful how we make our judgments and when we make our judgments. Ultimately, God is the only judge. Now let's take a look at that. In the Bible it says, judge not and you will not be judged. At the same time in the Bible, there are many, many references to the fact that you have to make a judgment. Who you choose to associate with, who you choose to be friends with, what you decide regarding certain people that you want to date or that you want to marry. All these are judgments, and you have to be very certain in your judgments of how to approach them. These are all biblical teachings, so it seems to be a contradiction. I like to explain this. You know, the people that point out the contradictions in the Bible are usually anti-Christians. They're trying to get you to not trust the Word of God, and so they'll point out certain things. Let me use the illustration of the healing of the blind man. You know, in the Scriptures, one of the texts says, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, they stopped and healed the blind man. Another text in God's word says just the opposite. As Jesus and his disciples were heading into Jericho, they healed a blind man. Now, obviously, these are contradictory. At least they appear to be. In theology, we have a word for that. It's called paradox. P-A-R-A-D-O-X, paradox. It means two statements that appear to be contradictory, and yet both statements are true. I know that's a little confusing. I hope you get your mind around that and can understand what I'm saying. Two statements, both of which seem to be contradictory, and therefore one probably is wrong. But in this case, a paradox means, though they appear to be contradictory, both statements are true. Let's go back to that Jericho incident, where one text says they were leaving Jericho, another text says they were entering Jericho. Now, this is easily explained, and as a matter of fact, that's why I use it as such a simple illustration. If you know anything about the Holy Land, or if you've been over there visiting, you know there's more than one Jericho. I grew up in Iowa, and we had different towns. Sometimes a town was very old, and then they had a new suburb that became the new town. Let's take the word Berlin, for instance. There was Old Berlin, or simply Berlin, and then New Berlin, which was the new town, as an illustration. In this case in the Bible, there were more than one Jerichos. There was the Old Testament ancient Jericho, which is where the walls fell, you remember, as Joshua and his military marched around the walls. That's the old Jericho. And just outside of it, not far away, half a mile, there was a new Jericho, the New Testament Jericho. And so you begin to understand that both statements were true, depending on the viewpoint of the author as he was writing. On the one hand, they were leaving the Old Testament Jericho, but they were just about ready to enter the New Testament Jericho. So it's true, they healed the blind man on the way out of one Jericho and on the way into the other Jericho. You see, both statements are positively true. That's why it's called a paradox. Now, let's get back to this judgment which we have in Matthew 13 here. We are supposed to make judgments. On the other hand, we better be careful and slow to judge, because only God is the ultimate judge, because only He can look in the heart and make the final decision. Now, one of the first things to point out is there will be a judgment. Don't worry, God sometimes seems to be slow in His judgment and slow in His discipline, but there will be, and this is the warning in this parable also, there will come an ultimate judgment, and the harvest will take place. Now, there will be no mistakes in this harvest, because God's going to use His good angels, those that serve Him. God's going to use the angels to come and, first of all, pull out all the weeds, tie them into bundles, cast them into eternal fire. That's hell. And that's going to happen for all unbelievers who have denied Jesus as their Savior and do not love Him or serve Him. Then comes the harvest. God will gather the harvest into the granary or into the barn, so to speak, and that will be our heavenly home, where we will live with Him without end in eternal joy. There will be no sin there. No one's going to sneak in there accidentally. There will be no weeds there. Just the harvest, just the beautiful harvest. This parable is positively beautiful. Be careful how you judge people. Let God be the ultimate judge. He will do that, and He will send His angels to get the harvest.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.